But obviously the big news, and when we talked about Ohio State there for a second, it's still with the Browns and it's still Quinshon Judkins after yesterday when, you know, we read it on the air. We were the first ones to have the report that came out yesterday, at least on this station, that said, you know, what exactly had happened with Quinshon Judkins at the airport down in Florida. And Jeff, I mean, we've had a little bit more time to kind of digest this. And I heard Mike Florio on a little bit earlier with the morning show guys talking about, you know, the situation with Judkins. And again, I'll go back to what I said yesterday. Guilty, innocent in the court of law doesn't matter. The NFL is going to put him on the sidelines here for a while. I don't know. You've had a little time to think about the story. What are your thoughts?
If the police report is accurate and, you know, the story is accurate and all that stuff, well, he deserves to be suspended. If it's all accurate.
Yep.
And so that should be taken care of by the NFL. And they'll do their own investigation. They always do. They'll check everything out. But if he did what he's accused of doing in the police report, he should be suspended.
Yes.
There's no place for that. That's
again,
ridiculous.
The police report at this point, though, is what the police officer was told.
Exactly.
By the victim.
But he also said, yep, I still see the bruising and there are pictures of the bruising. So they'll do their own investigation. All I said was, if it's accurate, he deserves to be suspended.
There are just so many different storylines on this thing.
The troubling thing is it continues to happen, not just to our organization, but in the National Football League and throughout our society. There's no place for that.
I had someone send me a text yesterday just talking about mental growth of any human once you hit like your early 20s, you know, your late teens, your early 20s, and how developed your brain fully is and trying to figure out what you're going to do in your life. It was kind of a deep conversation we were having. And so, like, why, you know, sometimes we'll say boys will be boys or teens, and I'm not saying that in this situation.
Well, this isn't just limited to your 20s. No. I mean, this is a problem in our society.
I think we all sometimes have that, especially young men growing up in this, and young women too, I'm sure, having the feeling of being, you know, indestructible and making decisions that I can't put my finger on the pulse of the thought process, but I also, you know, I wonder about when you put someone in the spotlight and you ask them at 17, 18 years old to play in front of 100,000 people and you're with NIL now, you're making more money than, you know, 95% of the country to go carry a football or to make a block. In college football now that, you know, you just kind of have to wonder, and again, free country, do whatever you want, make as much as you want, make as little as you want. But I
money doesn't give you the right to hit people.
No, it doesn't. But we empower people through money most of the time and that we put, you know, people
a lot of
like
rich
this.
People aren't hitting people.
No, I agree, but we don't like, you don't know what happens when you don't know what's going on. My brother used to say this line to me all the time. You know, we drive by houses and I would be like, wow, look at that house. It's like a mansion or it's this or it's that. And my brother used to always look at me and he goes, you don't know if they have furniture on the inside. It might be empty. And I always thought about that because you never know what's going on with someone's life and money does not matter in that situation. And so not getting into the deeper conversation than this, than just other than, I don't know that there's anything the NFL, what can the NFL do to try to not have these situations happen more? And since Ray Rice, if you look at the numbers in 2014, you know, these domestic violence cases have gone down, DUIs have gone down, a lot of the, you know, things that were front and center. Now, is everything going to the police? Are the police, you know, do they always deem everything worthy of prosecution or arrest or any of those things? I don't know how that plays out, but I think the NFL has tried a little to curtail these activities. What else can the NFL do?
Not much other than suspend guys in an even bigger way.
I mean, they made a pretty clear statement, but it also looks like, and I said this yesterday after, you know, taking a look at the NFL rookie transition, that they put the onus on the teams rather than on the league. And I think they have 12 points that every team has to have. It's a point of emphasis towards rookie in their transition. And again, we talked about this the other day about how rookies, you know, used to come into the league and they would come to Cleveland. It wasn't that long ago. They would all gather here and they would go through the rookie symposium and they would talk about, you know, what's going to happen to you, what you're going through and what situations. I'm sure the pandemic had something to do with this too. But then what they did was they walked out of the situation saying that 55% of the newcomers to the league were undrafted. So they weren't going to that rookie symposium and they needed to learn somehow, some way. And so they felt that I think they felt better by empowering the teams to put these guys through a rookie transition program like we had the other day. I mean, right? That Sanders was in town when he got busted for speeding because they were still doing rookie transition stuff here in Cleveland. I don't know if should the onus be on the team, should the onus be on the league, should the onus be on the NFLPA.
Should the onus be on the parents before they ever get there?
Or guardian? Is it on the parent or is it at 18? Do we say to yourself, hey, man, you got to know better than to get yourself into trouble here? And it's not if he's guilty or innocent in this scenario. It's the league. And the league just doesn't want to put up with this stuff anymore. And they'll be like, okay, well, and as Florio said yesterday, you know, the league looks at it and they're like, okay, domestic violence, whether it's misdemeanor or felony, you know, we're looking at 6 games. That's where we start. That's where the platform begins on your suspension. And I'll just say this, that for a team that we were looking at getting to the football side of it, you know, we're talking about a team that is expected to win maybe 5 games this year. And every time, Jeff, you and I talk about the bright spots of this team, it was the thought of having 2 rookie running backs that should be able to contribute and could start going towards the future.
Maybe. It might happen. I would assume that he plays at some point this year. And we'll see how this all plays out. Again, if what is said in the police report turns out to be factual and the NFL finds it factual enough that they believe in it, there's no way that he's not getting suspended. And there's no way that he shouldn't be suspended. If it's all true, he deserves to be suspended for a good length of time. We'll see what the NFL does with that.
Do you think the league should wait for legal due process before they suspend people or they put them on paid leave, which was one of the big stories of this morning when Florio was talking to the morning show about, you know, you put them on paid leave. And I thought Florio made a great point about how the players just want this over with. They just want to serve their suspension and they want to get back out on the field. And prosecution knows that so that they know that, you know, when it comes time for a settlement, that prosecution wants to drag it out as long as they can, because as long as they're dragging it out, the players aren't playing.
The NFL will do its own investigation on all of these things. If look at our court system,
mm-hmm.
you're gonna go ahead and wait for the courts to decide. You might be a while. That's a who knows how long that could be. If you're gonna wait for the court system, you might end up suspending guys for years. So I understand why players would want to get it over and done with, but you know, best way to do that is to not do it in the first place. Sorry, I'm just not a big fan of domestic violence. I don't know anybody who is, actually.
No.
But it happens too frequently, and we need to be better as a society. I'm not blaming the NFL. We need to be better as a society.
Do you think, and especially here where we are right now, that, you know, we talked about one Ohio State player who just got buku bucks with the Jets. And Garrett Wilson. And then, you know, in the same token, we're talking about 2 Ohio State players now that were second round picks by the Browns. And then, like, I wonder, you know, are the colleges.
It's not an Ohio State problem.
But here's the thing about Ohio State, Jeff, and having been around that program for, you know, for as long as I was down there and then, you know, seeing it from a distance, I think the Buckeyes take great pride in making sure that their players that are going to be playing professional, and this is for the last 20 some years, I mean, this goes back to Coop. That they want these guys to understand that what it feels like to be in the NFL and like the media training alone that Ohio State football players get is like in some ways is probably better than some NFL teams in the way that they are, I don't want to say schooled, but educated in media and understanding what they're doing and understanding where they're going and moving forward. And, you know, there's so many success stories from Ohio State that it's interesting that when you go back and you look at the last 2 years, you've got two Ohio State Buckeyes who happen to be in Cleveland that have kind of gone sideways and tried to get sick. I don't know, you know, if Ohio State is willing to put the time in for, you know, classroom help and weight room help and good health, you know, and things like that, should they not be making sure that these guys are, you know, when they get out, representing the university until the end? I mean, they do it every week when, you know, you see the opening, it's the Ohio State, you're still representing Ohio State some way, some form. I don't know. I don't know. I don't blame Ohio State, but I do know that, you know, if I was a Michigan fan, I'd be like, oh, nice job, Ohio State. Here we go again. I mean, and that's just the nature of college football, and that's the rivalry. And it's, the, you know, it's just a side piece to what's going on. I don't know. Is there a responsibility by the college? Is there a responsibility by the NFLPA? Is there a responsibility by the NFL? Ultimately, it's the responsibility of the player. And Judkins finds himself in a unique position right now that I'm sure he didn't think he was going
to
be in
two or three weeks ago.
And he was canceling. He was supposed to do a camp at Cleveland Heights, and that thing got canceled. And you think about all those kids that wanted to come see him and wanted to go to that camp. And then, you know, this thing goes there, and now all of a sudden you're not doing that either.
There's a lot of time for him to, you know, get his act together. But certainly he's... If things turn out to be as presented in the police report, he'll be missing time for the Browns this year.
All right, your thoughts as we sit here 24 hours after the fact. And I do want to play a couple of the clips from Mike Florio from earlier this morning, who spoke on the morning show, because he had a little bit more perspective on what this means, especially legally, and knowing that Mike's an attorney and he's has a good understanding of the law, too. So let's go back. Let's see how much more this Quinshon Judkins thing affects the Browns, and we'll talk more about that, especially with Mary Kay Cabot. At 11 o'clock. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.